Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from a radioactive bunker deep inside the Bracket compound, this is Real Spoilers, episode 549, a milestone.
It's a milestone, that's true.
Milestone, yeah, right? Isn't that the exact definition of a milestone?
I think you're right, yeah, right.
So we're going to do, for our news episode, we're going to skip over the news this time, and we're going to do something special because we are recording on the evening of the Oscars.
Yeah, they're happening so in like an hour.
So we're going to give you our picks. When you hear this, you'll have already seen the Oscars, but it might be kind of fun to see how close or wrong we are. So that will be interesting. And then if we have time at the end, we'll go through a quick box office report. But first of all, let's go around and introduce ourselves. And I guess we'll start with our guest, Linnea Thunzel. Hey, Linnea.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to be back.
Yeah, well, thank you. We appreciate it, and we know that you were busy, and we rearranged the schedule, and we made it work, so thank you for that. Of course, I'm joined by my partner in crime. Whenever Tom's not around, this guy usually is.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, it's Joe.
So shameless plugs, follow us on social media. You know how to do it. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff. You know the spiel. You hear it every week. League of Show Shares, don't have them. I'm going to let Tom do that next week, so he will have a mega list. Also, you get, if you missed out, if you were lazy, you didn't share this week, you have an extra week and way more shows to share.
That's right,
so,
yeah.
We'll read them all next time. And let's see, what else does he usually do? Patreon, we have a funny thing that Joe and I recorded late last year. We watched a Nicolas Cage movie that we had no idea about. We saw the poster. It looked bonkers. We started watching it, and we're like, oh,
it's bad.
It's
real bad.
So, yeah, so we did a watch-along. People seemed to like our watch-along trailer, and if you liked that, we have an entire movie you can watch along in here. And I think it's pretty funny. I remember you and I were pretty, we thought it was an interesting movie, let's just say that.
No, it was a bad movie. Like, there's no other.
That's true.
There's
interesting
nothing
might
good
be
about that. I listened to the episode, and I was trying to give it some glimmer of hope, but it was not working.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about the camera lenses they used and the cinematography techniques. Right. You were getting really technical with the film stock that they used on the film.
You know, film stock, because you know they did that on film.
So anyway, subscribe to Patreon. We appreciate everyone that does. $5 a month or more gives you bonus episodes like that. And Joe and I have one that's actually going to tie into the review episode this week.
We do.
Coming up in the near future. So subscribe, check that out. But without further ado, it's the Oscars. Hey, so... I don't know about you guys. When I was a kid, you know, loving movies, the Oscars was a huge event. It's the Super Bowl for movie lovers. I love tuning in and watching it and picking. As I get older, I just don't really care anymore. Like, there's movies I love that weren't nominated. There's movies that are going to win that don't deserve it. There's things that are going to, you know, it's just like, no matter what happens, these movies don't change. They're still great movies, bad movies. I don't know. Linnea, what are your thoughts on the Oscars?
Yeah, I used to love watching them too. I watch them now, but usually just to follow like live threads on Twitter.
Yeah.
And people making fun of it and hating the snubs and people who won who don't deserve it. So yeah,
That's all the internet is people being angry and outraged about stuff. And I think that helps perpetuate my, I don't know, disinterest in the Oscars, because it's like, okay, you know, some people's movie's going to win. Yay, they'll celebrate. And then you're going to have the entire rest of the internet going, oh my God, this didn't deserve it, and whining and complaining. And then it's going to happen for every category, every actor. I mean, film's subjective. So it's just, to me, it's more frustrating to see all the discourse and everybody getting mad about picks and stuff. I don't know. Joe, what's your thought on
the
Oscars?
Oh, I have no interest in them whatsoever. Okay. You know, like, I think it's... it's just Hollywood, jerking themselves off. I mean, that's kind of the way I feel. It's them, let's shower ourselves with awards rather than, you know. So I agree. I think there's going to be stuff that I like this year that isn't even going to come close to being nominated. Yeah. Things are going to win that I have no interest in seeing whatsoever.
Look at Uncut Gems. You know how many Oscars Uncut Gems is nominated for, Joe?
Zero.
Zero, and we love that movie. So what does that mean? Does that mean Uncut Gems is bad? Of course not. But it's like, so if you have movies that you think are the best movie of the year that aren't even nominated, it's just like, how can you really put that much stock in who it wins? Or
I think it all came to a head for me, at least, when like people would say, when Weinstein would like bully people into like voting for, was it Shakespeare in Love?
Yeah.
So it's just like, so it's not based on merit. It's not based on quality of it's, not it's always. It's who gets the nicer present.
Yeah.
You know, so like I have no interest in that whatsoever. Plus, I want Tarantino to win? Yes.
Yeah.
But
I mean, and some people are going to win and they're going to deserve it, you know, and that's cool for them. But at the end of the day, I mean, when I see especially those blind Oscar articles, did you guys read those this year about what
the ones that people didn't read?
The voters?
Like they didn't see the movie?
Yeah. They're you know, like, I mean, the one that's like, I'm not messing with Parasite because it has subtitles. I don't want to read it. Or I want an American to win Best Director. Like, what?
You know, and here's the thing is, I mean, we've talked about it before with Roman Polanski and Woody Allen, where it's like, how do these dudes, these scumbag dudes, keep getting nominated? And people are just like, woo! It's like,
I'm glad Polanski is finally out.
Well, I'm like, Polanski, you can't come into the country.
Right.
Like, he can, even if he were to win, he cannot come back into the country because he will be arrested immediately.
Right. Like, and he should. I wish he would spend the rest of his life in jail.
Yeah.
I'm glad they finally kicked him out, because that's something for years I went on and on. I'm like, why is he still in the Academy and respected?
Right.
Like, he did horrible things. And but anyway, it's silly, but it's fun. I mean, if you're just doing it for fun, I think sometimes the presenters, if there is a host, I mean, there's some fun to be had, but the awards themselves, if you have a movie, it's great to be recognized. You're going to make more money. You put it on the DVD.
Right.
The actors have Academy Award winner. They're going to get a bigger paycheck. I mean, that's great for them, but in the scheme of things, I just don't think they really matter to people that love film and watch, you know, a couple hundred a year.
If you're going to say that Godfather didn't win Best Picture, that doesn't take away from the fact that it's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Bingo, exactly. So anyway, well, let's go through. I thought it'd be fun. Let's go through, and I will read the nominees in each category, and we don't have to go too far into it, but if you want to elaborate, that's fine. But let's go through, and let's give our picks, and I'll just go ahead and I'll give my pick last. Let's just put it that way. I'm gonna do my pick last. So I'll go through, and I'll say, and I'll switch between you two with who goes
no,
first.
No, ladies will always go first.
Well, you guys have probably seen more of the nominated films than I have, though, so just keep that in mind.
Oh, it's no problem at all. I'm going to alternate, Joe. You can't always cheat off of Linnea's test, all right? We're going to start at the bottom. We're going to work our way up to the big one. So, original song, I'm Standing With You from Breakthrough, Into the Unknown from Frozen 2, Stand Up, Harriet, I'm Gonna Love Me Again, Rocket Man, and I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away from Toy Story 4. So, Linnea, let's start with you. Who do you think's gonna win?
I don't know. I'm gonna say the Rocket Man one, but I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. That's one of the only nominations I think Rocket Man had.
Which is ridiculous. Are you gonna tell, like,
who won last year.
The fact that he didn't get nominated and Rami Malek did is insane to me.
Yeah. See, that's the whole thing. That's one of the reasons I think that I'm so disenchanted with the Oscars, is you see something like that, where are you telling me that if Rocket Man and Bohemian Rhapsody came out in the same year, you think
same director
Bohemian
too.
Rhapsody? Yeah, well, he had to clean it.
Right.
He had to clean it up.
I think he finished it.
Yeah, because yeah. Singer was yeah, the... Yeah, yeah. yeah, so he got fired. But if you're telling me they came out in the same year, you think Bohemian Rhapsody would have all those Oscars?
No way.
So, you know, it's just like, it's all timing and you know, all that. But anyway, okay, so Linnea is going with the Rocket Man song, which I believe is the Elton John song that played at the end credits.
Yes.
And Joe, what do you think?
I'm going with Into the Unknown only because it is played
You've heard it 7,000
repeat in my house nonstop. So I'll go with Into the Unknown.
So if your daughters were Oscar voters...
Oh, they would absolutely vote for that. There's no... Now, maybe let not, me the, ask maybe you, not the big let one, me but ask, the little one for sure.
Let me ask you this. Which version?
Oh, I like the Panic at the Disco version.
100%. Yeah. I think it's so much better. Linnea, have you heard both versions of the End of the Unknown?
I haven't heard any versions. I have no idea. I don't have kids.
Okay, so... Well, sure, but...
I didn't see the movie. No. Don't have kids.
Oh, okay. So Idina Menzel also sings End of the Unknown. It's like the big number. It's supposed to be Let It Go for this.
I'm waiting until it's on Disney Plus.
Okay, so she sings that big song, and then Panic at the Disco and Brandon Urie, he covered it, and his version, it's so much better. It's the same song, but it's odd that his
pop rock inspired version.
Yeah, it's good. All right, I'm gonna go with let's see, what did I have here? I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away, Toy Story 4.
I don't remember that song at all.
I also didn't see that movie.
Linnea, you're good. That's okay.
That's Randy Newman when they're traveling on the RV, and he's like, How can you let?
Yeah, Into the Unknown.
And throw yourself away. I mean, you know, Toy Story 4 came back, did a bunch of business, you know, Randy Newman songs. So, all right, we'll see what happens. Original score, we have 1917 by Thomas Newman, Joker by Hilder Little Women, Alexander Desplat, Marriage Story, Randy Newman, and Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, Johnny Williams. So, Joe, what are we thinking?
I think it's probably the sentimental pick, I guess, is John Williams, but I think it's probably the Joker.
Okay, Linnea?
I guess I'll say 1917.
Okay, yeah, that's
also a solid pick.
Yeah, people are pitting the Newman versus Newman for this category. But, you know, the surprising thing is that Hilder for Joker, she has won like every single award.
Oh, really?
They give her Golden Globe, whatever. I mean, all these award shows, I don't even know all of them, but she keeps winning every single like Film Critics Society Award and all this stuff.
Well,
so
that means she won't win the Oscar.
I don't know. Sometimes it's opposite, but I mean, usually it's like Golden Globes isn't a guarantee, but when you win everything, it's kind of like, wow. So I'm going to go with Hilder we'll just call her Hilder because that name, it's got symbols I didn't even know existed in it.
I do think like that movie creates that soundtrack or that score creates the tone of that movie.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, score is so important, as we've talked about time and time again. And that film definitely, with between Phoenix's performance and that score in the background, that creepy, like slow moving score.
Exactly.
I think it's got a good chance.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Foreign language film. So this is one that's getting a lot of talk about it. So South Korea, Parasite, Pain and Glory, which is the Antonio Banderas movie, Spain, Les Miserables from France,
well,
Honeyland
weird.
From. But go, yeah, okay. it's not the musical.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, Honeyland from North Macedonia. Ooh. And Corpus Christi from Poland. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to say Parasite. I'm going to come out and just...
I think I think they give it to Parasite because it's not going to win Best Picture.
Here's the deal. Yeah, a lot of people have been talking and I know they really want it to. I think it would be a miracle. And I think the film's amazing. But again, you've got all these Oscar voters talking about, oh, I don't want to mess with subtitles, which is ridiculous and frustrating. But to think that they're going to go ahead and make that movie Best Picture when you have another movie... Well, we'll get into that later. Yeah. But I think for foreign language film, it's a lock. I think there's no doubt with the buzz it's been getting. That's probably for all these voters that don't even watch them all. They know what Parasite is. So I think they'll at least give it that.
That's what I think.
And it should be a pretty safe bet. Live action short film. So this one, I did not see a lot of these. There's Brotherhood, Nefta Football Club, The Neighbor's Window, Saria, and A Sister. Did you guys watch any short film live action?
No, I didn't see any of those.
Nor did I.
Okay. I went ahead and I chose Saria because, or Saria, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I've heard a lot of buzz around it, but again, I don't really know much about them, so it's a toss up. Does anyone even want to wager? I guess
haven't heard
anything. Okay,
I have no idea.
All right, okay, we'll pass.
I don't have time to sit through short films at this point.
Now this one, documentary short. This has a St. Louis connection,
it
Joe.
Does,
I don't know if you knew that.
It does, yeah.
But in the running here for documentary short, we have In the Absence, Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone, If You're a Girl, in parentheses, ooh, Life Overtakes Me, St. Louis Superman, and Walk, Run, Cha Cha. So St. Louis Superman is a film that I don't know if it debuted, but it played the St. Louis Film Festival.
Sure.
Yeah, and it was really good. The subject of the film, he was really, really charismatic, really good speaker. It talks about him and his time, getting elected as a black man who was a battle rapper.
Yeah, his name was Bruce Franks.
He was elected to Missouri representatives?
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
But he was elected. He's a black battle rapper who got elected in a Republican state, you know?
Well,
and so
okay. So here, that's the... He was elected... St. Louis is a blue city, but St. Louis and Jefferson City are blue cities, but we are surrounded by red. Like, they're like... If you look at... If you were to look at, like, a political map, there's St. Louis and maybe Kansas City, too. But like those are the three blue dots, and then everything else around us is red. The whole thing is red.
Okay.
So like St. Louis is a Democratic city.
And he ran as a Democrat and he won.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty interesting story. I think the consensus I've heard from a lot of people that have watched it, although everyone likes it a lot, is that it just kind of ends. It's not a complete story.
Yeah,
it's
there's an ending to that story. He's no longer there.
But who's to say what he will continue to do?
Who knows?
I mean, he stepped down from his position, but it just kind of ends. And so his story isn't even written yet completely. So it's really compelling for the time that it is on, but that's the big argument I hear. Linnea, thoughts on this just by titles alone?
Yeah, I didn't see any of them, so I don't know, but
a lot of people are saying Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone, If You're a Girl, because that title is just like, it's just a compelling title.
Sure, yeah.
So, anyway, Joe, I thought you were seeking all of these out. I guess
No.
All right, so documentary feature, American Factory, The Edge of Democracy, Honeyland, Forsama, and The Cave.
I didn't see any of them. Nope.
So American Factory is produced by the Obamas, and a lot of people think that will win just to... You know, just to be able to say, hey, Barack Obama has an Oscar in this political climate that we're in.
Oh, sure. So, why not?
I think it's a pretty safe shoe-in at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
Animated short film. So I don't know if you guys saw any of these, but one is called DeSera. It's a foreign language title, but Daughter in parentheses, Hair Love, Kit Bull, Memorable, and Sister.
So, I think I did see Hair Love.
I also saw Hair Love.
I think it was maybe online somewhere.
Yeah, I was flittering. I saw Hair Love and I saw Kit Bull that played before. It was a really cute. It was about I think a pit bull and a little kitten. And I don't know if it played in like on Disney Plus or something, or if it was online too. But really cute little short. I went ahead and I picked Hair Love. A lot of people are talking about it. It's about a dad trying to do his little girl's hair.
Yeah,
but it's like, you know, it's like very big and crazy, and he's like trying to figure out and do it. It's a cute little short.
Yeah, so that's the one. I mean, that's the one I've seen, so that's the one I have to vote for.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Linnea, Hair Love.
Hair Love. Right. Yeah.
Animated feature film. Now, this is an interesting one because there are a lot of big names in this category.
Yeah.
So usually animated feature film is like Disney movie. You know, let's stop the discussion there. But you've got How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, the third and final film in the How to Train Your Dragon trilogy. I Lost My Body, Klaus, which is the Netflix Santa Claus movie, Missing Link, which is Laika's movie that not a lot of people saw, but the people that do love it, including myself, I thought it was great. And then you have Toy Story 4. So you've got some heavy hitters in here with DreamWorks, Toy Story, and Disney and Laika.
Yeah.
Joe, thoughts on this one?
I mean, I think I want to go with the Missing Link only because they're doing something different.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not the typical Disney thing. It's not the Pixar look. I think it's a completely different look, and it's an amazing flick. Like it's a really good movie.
It's really good, and it's all stop motion animation.
Yeah.
When I saw the previews for it before I saw it, I thought this has to be CG, like looking like stop motion, because it's so detailed, it's so amazing looking, and it's just the puppets that they make have like hundreds of different expressions. They have different heads, different eyes, the fur. I mean, I interviewed the artistic director, who's Brad Schiff, who's actually from St. Louis, and he showed me. I actually got to see one of the maquettes for the Missing Link character voiced by Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
And you can see all the little hair detail on it. I mean, these things are amazing. And the thing is, Laika's never won Best Animated. So I feel like if you're going to pass over Kubo and Coraline,
right.
You know, I know they've got Box Trolls and I think maybe something else that isn't maybe as highly regarded, but it's been passed up time and time again, and they're pushing the medium and like Joe said, really doing something different. And so not only did I really like Missing Link, but I feel like this is the one that if it gets it for it, I'd be happy, and I feel like it's their time. And I'm saying that as someone that loved Toy Story 4, loved it. It's one of my favorite movies of the year. I think it's my favorite Toy Story movie. I loved it. And then How to Train Your Dragon I thought was solid too. Linnea, thoughts?
Well, again, I didn't see any of these.
Oh my goodness. So I know you don't have kids, but are you not a fan of animated movies?
Yeah, I guess I am. I just, I tend to go see a lot of movies alone. And I think yeah. I'm just like, I don't want to go see a kid's movie by myself. And
yeah.
Like, sit there.
Well, okay.
But I think isn't it kind of weird that Frozen 2 wasn't nominated?
That's what I thought. I'm with you. I'm right there with you.
I think it's great.
Because I kind of would have expected it to be, but it just wasn't. Yeah. It just wasn't as good.
I think it's great that it wasn't nominated because Disney shouldn't automatically get in
sure.
for a subpar movie just because they're Disney. And I'm not saying that any of us think it should, but apparently it's like, oh, Disney. And then you know what? All the voters go, oh, Disney. And I just, it's not fair. And also, there are some Disney films that are better than others. And even if they're okay, it's like, is it really Oscar worthy?
Right.
And so Frozen 2, I was not a huge fan of at all. I thought it was okay. I thought the songs were bad. I mean, since I saw it again, I'm like, okay, they've kind of grown on me, but the songs aren't as good. I thought the story had a lot of messy parts with it. Like, I just didn't like it as much. So for me, it was like, wow, I'm so glad they put something like a film or even this Netflix Klaus that I didn't see it, but everyone is raving about it. Like, I think these movies that are doing something different deserve a spot. And you know, Disney Pixar has Toy Story 4. So
yeah, it's not like they didn't. Yeah. They got in there, but the Disney animation, yeah. This is the first year in a long time, I think, that the Disney animation yeah. didn't get picked up.
But I don't know. I mean, Joe, I don't think it deserves it.
I don't
know.
I saw
it.
Yeah. I saw it
for an Oscar.
No,
I mean,
I don't.
It's just not that great. So, I'm glad that they didn't go with it. Okay. Visual effects. So this one is interesting because we have, again, a lot of heavy hitters in this one. And there's also a lot of, closure to these series. So you have Avengers Endgame, you know, the culmination of what, 23 movies or 22 yeah. for Endgame, The Lion King, which was like, you know, it made a ton of money, and whether or not you think it was a great movie, look at those visual effects.
Sure.
Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, a series that's been in the making since 1977, the conclusion of the Skywalker saga.
Quote, unquote.
The Irishman, which...
No.
You know, oh, it's a Get Scorsese movie, so we better put that in there.
No.
And you know my thoughts on The Irishman. No.
Yeah.
So, and 1917, which a lot of it's practical, but the stuff they did stitch together and use visual effects for is pretty seamless. So where to even begin with this? Linnea, thoughts on visual effects?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably gonna go to either Star Wars or Avengers. And I thought
for like the culmination award.
Yeah, and just the visual effects were, you know, pretty outstanding for them. So
yeah.
And they used a lot of it, a lot more, I thought. So I don't know. I'd probably go with Avengers, but I don't know who's going to win.
I think
as
so,
she's
too.
Rocking a Captain Marvel sweatshirt.
Ah, there
yeah,
you go.
Exactly.
Joe, what are your thoughts?
I think 1917 will probably win for photography. I think Roger Deakins should probably take that. So I'm gonna take that one out. Mm-hmm. I feel like it has to. It should probably be Avengers. I think that whole end sequence
Yeah.
I mean, it's Lord of the Rings level. Does it look as good as Lord of the Rings? No. But, I mean, it's on the same level. Like, there's so many characters. There's so much stuff going on. So it would, and also would be nice to see Marvel maybe get an Oscar, an Oscar win. Right? So I don't have to keep hearing about how Suicide Squad won for best makeup or whatever.
But yeah, that's a great point too, because think of everything Marvel's achieved. And even though we all know that it's, you know, it's going to win the popularity vote, it's made billions and billions of dollars,
right, but exactly.
They did something pretty amazing. And I do feel that Feige, Marvel should be recognized for the achievement, because they've got people to go back to the theaters and spend money. They got everyone in there.
You don't get to become the highest grossing film of all time for doing something wrong.
And it's quality too. It's not just the popular vote, right? Like, we know Suicide Squad made $750 million, but what does that mean? You know, I mean, Avengers is not only the highest grossing film, but it's a solid film, a solid conclusion, in my opinion. And again, just the culmination of 22 films.
Right.
And, you know, how many years? When did Iron Man start?
2008, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, 11 years of storytelling and what they've done is amazing. So I'm going to say Endgame only because of the achievement overall. I think Lion King is stellar. I mean, photorealistic effects.
Oh, yeah,
I've never seen anything like it. I think Lion King's amazing. Star Wars, I mean, I didn't think it looked any better than any other Star Wars movie. I mean, it's good, but I didn't go like, whoa, those starships look like Starship. You know,
no,
like,
I think it looked just as good as the rest of them.
Yeah, and they're all pretty good these days. You know, it's Lucasfilm. It's the same people doing all the Disney stuff anyway. So yeah, let's I'll pick Endgame as well for that one.
Nice.
Costume design. So we have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Little Women, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, and Joker. So what are your thoughts, Joe, on costume design?
Yeah. I would say Hollywood, but I'm going to save my Hollywood vote for Best Picture.
You know they can win more than one. Right?
I don't want to risk it. You know, okay. Like I don't. But I feel, you know, I think that Little Women probably. I feel like the movies that kind of are throwbacks to, I know it's not Victorian, but like that
period piece,
like those kind of tend to win those, which is fine. Like I think those. Those costumes can be very ornate and hard, you know, intricate. So I feel like that's probably the best option.
You got to make them. You don't go to the store and just buy.
No, you got to make those things. Yeah.
You know,
sure.
Linnea?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Little Women.
Okay, same here. Yeah, I think it's usually the period piece type movies that I call it a period piece, even though it's not that old. But,
no,
you
know, that's what it is,
you know,
though. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll go with that one. I think that's safe. Makeup and hairstyling. So we've got Bombshell, Joker, Judy, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, which I keep forgetting even came out, and 1917. I'm going to go ahead and say Bombshell, because that Megyn Kelly makeup on Charlize Theron.
Yep.
I mean, her own mom called her and said, "You're in a movie?" Megyn Kelly. And she's like, "No, that's Charlize Theron." Like, that, it's phenomenal. I can't believe what they did. The other ones, I mean, they look fine, and some of the other characters in the movie looked pretty good, but I really think they did an amazing job with her in particular. Linnea?
Yeah, I didn't see Bombshell, but I mean, Judy, the makeup and hairstyling was really good too.
Yeah, agreed.
Was that Renee Zellweger?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's weird because Charlize Theron has kind of found this knit where she can kind of transform into anybody. I mean, like,
she's a chameleon, isn't she?
She really is. We talked about her on a couple episodes ago about her as Eileen Wuornos.
Yeah.
And she's almost unrecognizable.
I can't believe we didn't get more hate mail for those comments. I was listening and I'm like, I'm not going to edit this, but
it's true though. Like, it's crazy the amount of, like, She kind of did a Christian Bale where she put on weight and they like did stuff to her face where she looks just like that woman.
No, totally. Yeah, no, your makeup comments weren't what I was referring to, but that's all right. I you know what she reminds me of? Someone that I know we don't talk about this much these days, but she's like the female version, and that's not a comparative in quality, but she's how I used to think of Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp could play any role. It didn't matter. He would disappear. Leonardo DiCaprio is another one. They could slide in and out of any role, and I think Charlize Theron is really great at, she can be in a dumb movie playing an action villain in those Fast and Furious movies,
or she could be in a comedy with Seth Rogen.
Yeah, Longshot exactly. was great. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I so, totally. Longshot did not get the love that I felt like it deserved, but I totally agree with you. I loved that movie.
Yeah, and her range. It's the range, right? And yeah. So those other actors we were talking about, it's the range of these act. They can play any character and slip in and out, and you don't, even though they're big actors, you don't go, oh, yeah, that's just so-and-so. Where when you see someone like, I don't know, I'm just going to throw out Steve Buscemi, right? Like, he's great, but, you know what I mean, Steve
you
Buscemi,
pick the
right?
weirdest-looking guy you could possibly pick.
Oh,
I don't know.
You're so,
Steve Buscemi. I don't
you're
know.
So
John Leguizamo.
You're so, oh, geez. So anyway, so she does disappear into a role. I think she was great in that. So that's going to be my choice. Joe, did you land on one?
I think I'm going with Bombshell.
Okay.
That's the, you know, I think that was the, I really enjoyed that one as well. But I think that stood out to me as far as like makeup and stuff.
Production design. So we've got Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, The Irishman, 1917, Jojo Rabbit, and Parasite. So, Joe, what do you think? Man. Production.
I have kind of fallen in love with Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah.
So I like that's kind of where I'm leaning. I thought that was. I'm pissed that I waited as long as I did to see that movie, because it, man, that was stellar. So
Taika Waititi, man,
yeah,
that
for
guy.
Sure.
He seemed to come out of nowhere. I mean, I loved What We Do in the Shadows and Wilder People. Like,
yeah.
I've loved his work, but it seems like now, I guess since Thor Ragnarok, he's become a household name, and people are talking about his movies. He is going to be around for a long time.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
No.
Unless he decides he wants to go somewhere.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I liked Jojo Rabbit too, but I think it's like every time I see Parasite nominated for something, I just want to pick Parasite.
Right.
So, I mean... so I'm going to go with Parasite.
You know what's interesting, though, and you're on to something here. It's not even just an arbitrary choice, whether you realize it or not. The house that they built, did you hear about this?
No.
It's built.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that house, the main house that they go to, is completely built on a set or soundstage or whatever. Like, the detail that went into it, you never once thought. People were like, where is this amazing house? I want to go see the house and see pictures of it.
Huh.
It's like, no, they built that. So the level of detail that they put into that movie and how seamless it is and how great they designed it, really neat. So I think that has a shot for sure. I'm going to go with Hollywood just because A, it's Hollywood. It's not getting wasted, Joe. I may vote for more than once, but the amount of detail and how it threw back to that time period in Hollywood, it's impressive that you could have, and I will, Tom's not here, so we can't hear any groans or anything, but Brad Pitt driving down, you know,
I loved it.
Hollywood Boulevard.
I'll take 2 more hours of him just driving around.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I loved it too. And to look around and see him passing all these things, it's not like they just had to, oh, let's create a billboard and let's recreate a theater. He drove around Hollywood for a lot of the movie, and they had to put meticulous detail into staging it and getting it to look right. Tarantino obviously loves old Hollywood in that time period, so the work they did was incredible, and that's why I just have to give it that vote, even though Parasite is very impressive, but I'm going for Hollywood.
I like it.
Sound mixing. So we've got two categories, sound mixing and sound editing. Weren't they talking about merging these at one point?
Oh, who knows?
I don't think I like that at all, but I'm glad that they're not, but I feel like they talked about doing it for next year or something. But we'll talk about sound mixing first. 1917, Ford v. Ferrari, Dawn of Cars, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Ad Astra, which is that the only thing Ad Astra's nominated for?
Yeah.
And Joker. So sound, it's a tough one. For me, war movies, you got to get that sound mixing right with all the bullets, explosions. I think they did a phenomenal job in 1917, making you feel like you were right there. We'll get into the cinematography and camera work, but the fact that when you are right there on the ground with these guys and you hear all this stuff going on, I think that's a great choice. So it'd be my pick. And then I think a runner up would be Ford v Ferrari, just because car sounds, you know, a lot of good stuff there.
I appreciate that these are categories.
Yeah.
I don't care. This is the stuff where it's just like, all right, man, whatever.
But if you have it, you would care.
Exactly.
Maybe.
They make, you know, well, think about it, Joe. These movies, the reason why they envelop you, I mean, obviously it's a combination of all these things, but you've got the visuals and the direction, the acting. But if it had a bad soundtrack, about bad soundtracks or score or none of the two.
Yeah.
It can make a movie really boring and poorly paced.
Yeah.
And then if the sound mixing was wonky and you're just like, this doesn't feel realistic. I mean, it's one of those things that you take for granted, but it is very important, an element to the film. So, what do you think if you had to choose one?
If I had to choose, I guess I'm going to go with, it's a toss up between 1917 and Ford v Ferrari.
Dawn of Cars.
Yeah, Dawn of Cars.
I feel like it's going to, it should be, our, I feel like the technical side of 1917 is what should be praised. Like, not to say that the quality of the movie should be praised, but I feel like the technical aspect of getting that thing made was a masterclass. So I feel like I'm going to give that to 1917.
Okay, Linnea?
Yeah, I think it's got to go to 1917.
Sound editing, which, yes, that's a different category, but bear with me here. 1917, Ford v Ferrari, Dawn of Cars, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, Once Upon a Time... Oh, I have to say it like this. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or Joker. So a very similar category, but one is mixing all the sounds together, and the other is editing the sounds into the scene. So similar categories, similar nominees, with the exception of one or two here. I'm gonna say for editing, I'm gonna go with 1917 again. I think
that's where I was.
Yeah, I think that. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think technically, like Joe said, it's really an amazing achievement. So speaking of technical achievements, cinematography.
This
so
is a no- why are we talking about this?
1917.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, The Irishman, Joker, and The Lighthouse. Yeah, I think Deakins, he won it for Blade Runner, which was a good movie, but...
That's a makeup.
But it's a makeup. Yeah. 1917, I don't think there's any... I don't think there's any doubt he deserves it for this movie. Whoever's brain can work like that to make a film like 1917 and make it work, that's next level stuff. Linnea, sounds like you agree with that one.
Oh, yeah, it's got to go there.
Okay, so I think Deakins can score himself another golden statue tonight. So let's see here. Next, editing. The Irishman.
Gross.
LOL.
No.
Ford v Ferrari. Parasite. Joker. And Jojo Rabbit. So editing. Interesting. Linnea, do you have any thoughts on the editing of these films?
Well, I'm going to give it to Parasite.
That's right. Okay. Got you down for another Parasite, Joe.
I think editing is a tricky one. I think a lot of those movies are almost, you need a good editor to make everything work. And I think it's an interesting moment that Hollywood was not nominated because he did not have when did his editor die?
Was Django the last? No, it was Hateful Eight, maybe.
Was the last one that she did?
No, I think he didn't have her for Hateful Eight. It was 17 hours long.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
But
it's Kurt Russell. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, no, it's fine. I just, that's why I think he had that long version. But I think Django was the last one that she was around for.
So I think it's interesting that, you know, not that his movies have a different look, but that he hasn't been nominated for that since then.
Yeah.
But I have to go with... I guess I'm going to go with Joker because that does, there's no point in that movie where it's lagging or it's like you're waiting for something like that. That editor kind of cut that thing together to keep you on the edge of your seat when it's time for you to be on the edge of your seat.
I agree. There's not a lot of extra stuff in there. I think I saw Joker three times in theaters, definitely twice, but I think three, and it just flies by. It really, it is a mesmerizing performance in there, which is just undeniable, but it really moves at a good clip. So, I think that's a good choice. I'm going to go with Ford v Ferrari.
I
feel like editing is so important with action sequences, car chases, car races. If you don't edit it right, it can really just be choppy and bad, and I feel like they did a good job of keeping that action, where I think the movie, in my opinion, it was a little slower than I expected. I would have liked the movie to have more, I think, racing sequences in it to maybe liven it up, but when they when
Fast
it came
and Furious
to the races,
movie?
I'm not talking about that, but I think I'm gonna go Ford v Ferrari also because I don't think it's a good movie and I don't think it's gonna get a lot of other love.
I think it's not going to,
so it might, but Joker I think is probably like the actual winner, it's probably going to be Joker. So, okay, we'll see what happens there. Original screenplay for Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Parasite, Knives Out, or 1917. That is a stacked category and very tricky. Linnea, thoughts on, well, I see your movies in there. So
I'm
gonna
go with
Parasite,
but I think it is also just, it's so original, the story, and it's so, you know, universal too. So that's, yeah, I'm gonna go with Parasite, but
but I agree that it's amazing and I do love the story. It's very original and very interesting. But then you have Knives Out in there, only nominated for this one category. And Knives Out is such an amazing, hilarious, and unique screenplay to where I feel like if you know, it's only nominated for one thing and it's the original screenplay category and it's out there making, what, $300 million domestic or whatever.
Yeah, and a sequel's been announced.
That's true. I love Knives Out, so...
It's so good. I think I have to put that there just because it deserves the love and it is that good. And it got people to go to an original property in the theater where, you know, with all the remakes and crap going on, not that Parasite didn't, but on a much lower, smaller level.
Right.
Unfortunately, because those scary things at the bottom of the screen, those words.
Yeah. God forbid.
Yeah. I didn't want to read it in my movies. So I think I'm going to go with Knives Out, Joe.
It was a toss-up between Hollywood and Knives Out, but I feel like Knives Out, since this is its only category, I feel like I have to give it the nod.
Fair. It could be anyone's. I mean, that category is crazy.
Yeah.
And Marriage Story, that's my number one movie of the year. I loved it. I just don't know if I would give it original screenplay. You know, the performances were great and everything, and it's good, but I don't know that it necessarily broke enough ground to warrant, you know, like, oh, the best screenplay of the year.
I think it's a performer's movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's well written. I mean, they couldn't perform it if the lines didn't sound organic. So don't get me wrong.
That's true.
I wanted to mention it just because I do think it's a great movie and a great script. I just don't know that it will get the vote for being as original as some of these other ones. So adapted screenplay, you've got The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Little Women, The Two Popes, and Joker. Joe?
Well, I think it should probably, I mean, given what Little Women has been doing, I feel like it should probably be Little Women. I don't really know what they're adapting from Joker.
Well, it's anything that they didn't create the character.
Oh, I
or,
see. I see. Okay. Okay.
You know, yeah.
But no, I feel like with all the buzz of Little Women, I feel like that should probably be the one that, takes that one home.
It's a tough category in here. I mean, you've got Jojo Rabbit, which, you know, we're talking about how much we love that one. You have Little Women with Greta Gerwig, you know, getting the snub for director and all females getting the snub for director, you know, and it's a wildly popular movie. The Two Popes, which people that see it love that movie. I actually didn't even get a chance to see it, but I heard people talking great things about that. And then Joker, I mean, you know, it's got a ton of nominations overall, so it's a tough one. I think I'm gonna go with Little Women just because I think Greta Gerwig deserves it, and I liked what they did where I know that who was it Slappy McGee that hated it because it's the way they told the story, like he likes the book but he didn't like how it jumped around and did
that
the weird
does
stuff.
That does sound familiar, yeah,
but that kept me really interested and engaged. I liked how they told the story. I thought it was cool. As someone that's not a huge fan of the books, as in like I haven't read them, not that I hate them, but you know, I'm not coming with any of that baggage, but I really liked how they told it. What about you, Linnea?
Yeah, I'd have to go with Little Women, and I love the book and I like how they kind of redid the chronology in it and kind of did the flashbacks or whatever. I thought that was a really great way to tell a story.
Yeah, so. There's always, I mean, that story's been told several times already and it has good versions. It's like, I don't want just a straight remake. If something's already done well, I think we've talked about this before, but don't remake the movies that are good. Remake the movies that had potential but were bad, right? If you're going to do a remake,
Exactly.
Make it better. We don't need a remake of Citizen Kane. We don't need
Or do a live action version of Sword in the Stone.
Yeah,
or
itch,
the Black Cauldron.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
exactly
do that stuff.
The ones that aren't the higher tier, right? Remake them, make them awesome, whatever. So
exactly.
I agree. So we'll go with Little Women on that one. All right, acting categories, director, and the big one coming up here. We're getting there. We'll start with actress in a supporting role: Kathy Bates for Richard Jewell, Laura Dern for Marriage Story, ScarJo for Jojo Rabbit, Florence Pugh, in Little Women, and Margot Robbie in Bombshell. I'm going to say Laura Dern in Marriage Story just because she's getting the buzz. I love that film. I think she was great. I think I would rather see someone like Kathy Bates, who was really
amazing. She's got one.
I know, but that Kathy Bates and Richard Jewell, first of all, talk about a performer's movie. I know Marriage Story is, but that movie has some incredible performances in it. And the scene, did you see Richard Jewell?
No, I think all the stuff came out about what Eastwood did with that in reporter, the liberties he took with that, I think it turned me off from the movie completely.
Gotcha. But you should watch it for the performances. It's really, really a great roles in there.
Sure.
But Kathy Bates towards the end of that movie, when she gets up on a podium and is just like talking about, you know, her son, like, you know, he's innocent, like, no spoilers, I mean, based on a true story, and you've seen the trailers or whatever, like, but there's a point where
some of us were alive when that happened, so
yeah,
you know.
It's really great. She pours her heart out, and I was just like, wow. It reminds you how good Kathy Bates is, because I haven't seen her in a lot of meaty roles lately. And
she joined the ranks of American Horror Story.
Yeah.
That's what she's been doing. She's been on that show for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. So, Linnea, what do you think in supporting actress?
Well, I do like Laura Dern, but it's just also just like looking at all the actresses that are nominated for Best Actress and Supporting Actress. They're all really young, other than Kathy Bates.
Yeah,
and then you look at the actors that are nominated, and they're all old.
All right, like they're not that old.
I mean, Adam Driver is the only younger one, and then I think it's like Brad Pitt is the youngest one. Everybody else is like Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, Tom Hanks, Joe Pesci.
Isn't that an interesting commentary on Hollywood in general, how it's like, look at all these young, beautiful women, and then, look at all these old
white guys. There's no good roles for older women. That's the problem. So,
makes a valid point.
Right, but that's what I mean.
I like Laura Dern, but I also kind of just want to be like, give Kathy Bates the Oscar, because she's doing her thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Laura Dern's great, but I've also heard, I think even Tom mentioned it, but multiple people have said that her role is the exact same role she does on whatever the TV show. It's one of those, like, I don't know if it's Big Little Lies or what TV show she's on. One of those shows that's really got a lot of buzz around it, but they're like, she's a lawyer in that, and she was just kind of doing the exact same role. So I guess if you've seen it, maybe that causes some, I don't know, but she's getting all the buzz, and I think she's won a lot of the critics groups and other awards. So that's why I'm going to choose her.
I'm taking Florence Pugh.
Okay.
Only because she didn't get nominated for Midsommar.
Yeah,
hell of a year.
Yeah,
hell of a year. That's Florence Pugh.
She should have been nominated for that. She wasn't. So I'm going to take the makeup pick for Little Women.
That's another one, though, where, God, what is she, like, 17? She's so young.
She's not 17.
She is very young.
I mean, she's playing, like 12-year-old Amy in Little Women, so.
I'm Googling it. She's got to be in her mid-20s.
I bet you she's 19.
She's 24, because she's dating Zach Braff, right? And he's, like, 46, so.
Well, there is a big difference, whatever it is. Whatever
she's
it is,
be
she's
in her
just, 20s. She's young, and I think that the Academy is going to recognize that she has a long time to go, kind of to Linnea's sentiment, even though.
She's 24. Spot on.
24, So, but that's very young, and I think they're going to, as they do, you know, they like to do the make good.
Look at how long it took Leah to get one.
Yeah, there's only one winner, and there's a lot of great performances, and so they pick them as, this person missed out last time, here's their make good, and it kind of goes around in that cycle. So I think she's really good, but I think also that she has some time, and so that's why I'm going to say Dern. And I would love for Kathy Bates to win, if it were possible. Let's go over to actor in a supporting role. So there's Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which is interesting, but if you've seen the movie, supporting role kind of makes sense there.
Yeah, makes sense.
Anthony Hopkins in The Two Popes, Al Pacino in The Irishman, Joe Pesci in The Irishman. I mean, it's like, I guess they just feel like they have to put these guys in there.
Yeah.
And Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Linnea, what are your thoughts on actor in a supporting role?
Well, I would say Tom Hanks, although I felt like when I got out of that movie, I was kind of mad because I kind of thought it was going to be more about Mr. Rogers.
Right, bait and switch. It's not about Mr. Rogers. It's about the guy that wrote the article.
Like, who is this guy? but I thought he was great in that role. So I'm going to say Tom Hanks.
Joe?
So I was thinking Joe Pesci just because, I mean, he, as much as we bagged on that movie, he was amazing in
that
Best play.
Part of the movie, yeah. Hands down. Do you know why? Because they didn't have Joe Pesci running around kicking people right. And looking, you know, moving like an old man that's supposed to be. I mean, Robert De Niro in The Irishman, I think when he meets Joe Pesci at that truck, is supposed to be my age.
Right.
What?
That, it wasn't even close.
I mean, if I stood next to that Robert De Niro, are you going to tell me that these two people, I mean, it's horrendous how they tried to de-age them. And it's like, did you guys not see The Godfather when they had different actors play younger roles? Like, did you not see almost any other movie that does that?
De Niro doesn't get his start unless he plays a young Vito Corleone.
Well, it's definitely one of those iconic roles. And so I just feel like it's silly. Well, anyway, that's a whole different story. But Pesci... If you're going to pick someone from The Irishman, Pesci was spot on. He owned that. He came back to do it, which is another thing that they'll probably love. So I agree. I think that's a good choice.
I was thinking Brad Pitt, but after I've seen that movie, I've watched Hollywood a lot.
Yeah.
And he's great, but he's not really doing anything Oscar-worthy. Like, he's amazing in that role. He's very funny. He's charismatic.
It's a fun role, but he's not stretching.
He's Brad Pitt. You know what I mean?
I think because Brad Pitt doesn't usually win Oscars and he's really charismatic. He's won a lot of the awards.
Yeah.
And again, it's a movie about Hollywood. I'm going to pick Hollywood as the one that will win.
Maybe.
Whether or not it should win is a different story.
I'd be fine with it winning.
But I do think Brad Pitt will win. But, you know, it may go to an old timer like Pesci. I don't think Pacino's going to get it.
No, I really hope he doesn't win it.
So anyway, okay, cool. Moving on to leading roles here. We're going to go to actress in a leading role. Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, ScarJo for Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan for Little Women, Renee Zellweger for Judy, and Charlize Theron in Bombshell. I'm going to come out and say Zellweger's going to get herself another Oscar because her performance in Judy was excellent. She looked like her. I mean, she had to do a lot for that role. I thought she was excellent. I know she has a lot of buzz behind her. And again, there's a lot of great nominees here. So it's a tough pick, but I'm going to say Judy. What do you think, Joe?
Man, I was thinking ScarJo. Just based on, I mean, that was a tour de force of some acting chops in that movie. Where she has to be a bitch, but she also kind of has to still be likable. Like, you have to understand where she's coming from. And I think that's a really hard line to walk when they're going through the divorce proceedings. And there's that whole scene in the, in the lawyer's office with the two lawyers and Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson. So I just feel like that's a tight line to walk. And I feel like that she did a pretty amazing job in that movie.
Yeah, they both do. It's phenomenal. I mean, that is, as you said earlier, you put it well. That's an actor's movie. The two leads in that are phenomenal. So if she wins, I will not be disappointed. It's my favorite thing she's ever done. She is magnificent in that movie.
Wait till Black Widow.
Oh yeah, I'm guessing maybe Florence Pugh. Maybe she'll win the Oscar.
I'm telling you, she's your new Black Widow. I'm telling you right now.
So Linnea, what do you think?
I'd love for Renee Zellweger to get it. And it's such a good story too, because like she had her big like comeback, you know, before this movie. So I love that, and I love Cynthia to get it for Harriet because her performance was really great in that movie too. I know that movie had some controversy too when it came out, but her performance was great. So
I think that's the only thing it's nominated for would be lead actress. So I didn't get around to seeing it, but what did you think? I mean, it did get a lot of negative publicity and not that great of reviews. Did you like it?
I liked the movie. I thought they did some interesting stuff with the story that I think I could have done without. They kind of relied on, she said that she got like visions from God, and that's how she was able to, you know, work on the Underground Railroad and all that stuff. And
not a thing? They're just kind of throwing that in there for fun?
No, I mean,
or like, for the religious crowd, did, maybe?
Yeah. And I think like that was part of her story that she said, but also, you know, she just was a person who did this great thing. So,
sure.
And there was some other things that there's some, you know, criticisms of it, which I can't really talk about it either way. It's not my lane, you know. But I thought her performance was fantastic. So
let's be honest, though, what movie doesn't have some kind of controversy these days? The internet is really the Birds of Prey.
No controversy whatsoever.
There's really nothing to talk about. But we'll get into that next episode. So coming into the final three here, we've got actor in a leading role Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory, Leonardo DiCaprio, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver, Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix, Joker, Jonathan Pryce, The Two Popes. All right, Joaquin Phoenix. Next category.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Does anyone have any doubt that Phoenix is not taking home this Oscar?
No, but I'd love for Adam Driver to get it, but I know that Joaquin Phoenix is going to get it, so that's okay.
But I agree, and Driver, again, phenomenal in that movie, but Phoenix is an actor. I mean, he's an actor's actor. He is incredible in everything he's in my opinion. He's just phenomenal. And so he deserves it for his career. But I also think I think he's really good in Joker. Like, I think if he wins for this, which I believe he will, I really don't have any doubts, but I think it's deserved for this movie. It's a career win, and at least he's in a really good role. I think that movie falls apart without him.
Not to say a Joker movie could work.
You don't even get me started. But for this movie, which I think is a good movie, but if you didn't have him with this particular screenplay and everything that happens, I think it's not as interesting, and I don't think you have a very good movie. So I'm going
to
go with.
To see what Heath Ledger's Joker looks like in this movie.
Yeah, I mean,
I just thought I would be interested to see what that is.
I think it'd be interesting to see what Cesar Romero's Joker looked like in this movie.
Well, I mean, if we're just getting crazy, that's, you know.
So are you going with Phoenix, Joe?
No, I'm going with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You think DiCaprio's going to win Best Actor?
No, I want him to win.
Oh, got it.
I think Joaquin Phoenix is going to win.
Oh,
I enjoyed watching DiCaprio more than I enjoyed watching Phoenix, only because that role, the Joker role, is not the easiest thing to watch.
Yeah, sure.
It's kind of difficult to watch at times, and that's a testament to him. But I had a better time watching. Rick Dalton trying to get his lines right.
So good. And you know, a lot of that's improvised. So
that's good stuff.
DiCaprio's great, and he's known for improvising, especially on those Tarantino movies. And a lot of his stuff that he improvised ended up in the movie. So it's definitely a testament to him. But he just got his make good Oscar.
He did, for his
career. So I don't know that, especially against Phoenix, who doesn't have one, that he would be able to beat him. But I think it's a nice choice anyway.
I agree.
Director, but last two here before we wrap it up. Martin Scorsese, The Irishman.
Get out of here, old
Quentin. Oh, if it wins zero, I'll be so happy. Ugh. Like, I'm sorry, but being nominated for, I think it's tied with Joker or something. Like, it's nominated for
it's
11
ridiculous.
Oscars or something. Yeah, get out of here.
You better thank Netflix.
Yeah. But Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Bong Joon-ho? They said it's not pronounced like Bong, as everyone says it in America, that it's Bong. Bong Joon-ho for Parasite, Sam Mendes for 1917, or Todd Phillips for Joker. So, man, this one's tough because, again, you have some amazing films in here. I really think Parasite's going to get the foreign film, and I won't give away my best picture yet, but I think that Mendes, because I don't know that it's going to win some of the other ones that I would like to see it win. I think they will give him director for putting that movie together. What do you think, Linnea?
Well, I think I would be happy if they gave it to Sam Mendes or Bong Joon-ho, but because I think those two movies, the directing was fantastic. So I would prefer them to win than over the other guys. So.
Yeah.
I would rather Greta Gerwig be in there.
You know what, Linnea, you are preaching to the choir. I think it is a travesty, that she is not nominated when the film that she made is up so many times.
What about Honey Boy or The Farewell or Little Women? Yeah. Or
Farewell was fantastic too.
There are so many films that were incredible directed by women. And I'm not I'm not the kind of PC person that is just gonna be like, oh, you have to be diverse. Like, you know, may the best film win and all that. But there are women that made amazing films that deserve to be recognized this year. This was a totally. Hell of a year for female directed films, and to not have many of them showing up, and especially none of them in director. It's just, it's crazy.
You're just making the point for the people that are advocating for it.
Yeah.
You know, like you're just making the point easier for them. And they're not wrong. Their point is absolutely right.
Yeah, it is a travesty. I agree.
But I think it's Sam Mendes.
Sam Mendes. Okay.
I don't know how it can't be. I mean, that movie is the fact that he got that made is next level. Getting that to work.
Yeah, to make anything that's on that scale, and I'll never forget those scenes, especially the opening of the movie when I didn't know what to expect from it, and then they're walking through those trenches and those long takes where these aren't fake, like, editing long, you know, I mean, it's not one continuous thing for the whole movie, but it's really, really long takes that are stitched together, and the fact that he directed them and was able to put that together, and I don't know how many times they had to do it, but to even get that take at all was incredible with how much is going on. So I really think he deserves it, and I think he has a good chance of winning it. All I know is if Todd Phillips wins, there will be rioting.
Oh, it'd be bad. It'd be so bad.
People are so it got so much buzz, and out of Cannes or wherever, or wherever it was, it's like
Sundance, maybe.
It had it was a foreign one first. Oh. I thought, but it's got so much buzz and people loved it, and now it's the film to bag on. And so I still think it's a great film, but people it online is, like, are hating on it. And so if it ends up taking a huge prize, like one of those, it's going to be crazy, but I'm not looking forward to that. So let's hopefully we can avoid that.
Yeah.
And here's the big one. So Best Picture, we have 9 nominees: Ford v Ferrari, Dawn of Cars, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Marriage Story, Parasite, and 1917. A lot of heavy hitters in this one. A lot of really great films. I'm going to go with the upset on this one for myself. A lot of people want Parasite. It's a great film, and I think that it would be deserving.
Somebody on this podcast wants Parasite.
But I think that if it wins, it would be great. I think it's deserving of it. I just don't think the way the Academy voters are, I don't think they'll let it win. And the other one that people are talking about is 1917, of course, because it's phenomenal. We talked about directing, cinematography. The whole thing is just a masterclass of being put together. If it wins, would not be disappointed. But so I'm going to go with the sleeper here and the underdog, which is crazy to think it's become this. But Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think it has everything that the Academy loves. First of all, it has Tarantino, who's never made a bad movie, and he's never won Best Picture. It's about Hollywood. Hollywood loves Hollywood and has a record of winning in a lot of these categories. I just think that it's the time for Tarantino, and I think it's got all the right, you know, it's the perfect formula. So I'm going to go with Hollywood. Linnea, what do you think for Best Picture?
Well, I think it's probably going to be 1917.
Okay.
I would love for it to be Parasite or Little Women, but or even Jojo Rabbit, but I think it's going to go to 1917.
That's fair. Another favorite in the awards circuit. I mean, 1917 has been winning a lot. So I think that one is probably, if you're playing the Vegas odds, I think that's probably the one to look for. But with the upset going to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but a lot of film Twitter, you know, I don't think the general public is really preaching Parasite because, again, they're not seeing it, which is unfortunate. Right. And you got to keep spreading the word. But I don't think, other than film Twitter, Parasite's getting as much of the popular vote. So, Joe, I don't think it's going to be a surprise what you pick here.
No, Hollywood. All day.
Hollywood. Okay.
All day.
I think it's got it. So that is our Oscar prediction. So it'll be fun. You know what the results are now listening to this. And I'll try to have this up tomorrow because we don't need much editing and it's just predictions. So meaning that you should be listening to this the day after the Oscars. How well did we do? How terribly did we mess up? We don't know until we see it. So it was fun. Before we sign off on this one and we get into our next episode, I do want to go through the box office, just run through it. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time on all the budgets and that stuff. But just so you get an idea of what these movies did, I think there's really only one thing to actually talk about in
depth. There's one thing to talk about.
The number one movie of the weekend and the movie of the week, next episode, Birds of Prey. it was estimated that it would do, or predicted to do, about 55 million. The total's 33.2 million.
I am shocked.
20 million plus shocked. Underperforming for
that's,
that.
It's a shame because now they're going to go back to the old model.
It's this guy. It's
we'll get into it in the next episode, but it's a shame that we
took a risk and look
right,
what happened.
Exactly.
So, thoughts on that, Linnea?
Well, it's rated R, which I think is a tough.
Yeah.
So was Deadpool.
I know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But
my theater was pretty full when I went and saw it, but
we'll get into it next episode more in depth though. Yeah. But I think there's an argument against the Deadpool thing, and we'll get into why. But okay. I'm with Linnea. I think one, the rated R, nail in the coffin. I mean that killed it because this fan base has a lot of young fans that watch animated stuff and the shows, CW shows, whatever, that some of these characters are similar. You know, they've been introduced to these characters and they can't buy a ticket to it. And then also the marketing. I think that I've heard nothing but bad trailers. Yeah. Bad trailers and the title. Birds of Prey and blah 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 Harley Quinn. It's like, we'll get into it, but I think Birds of Prey was a mistake to put that in the title and not to sell it with Harley Quinn, who's the biggest draw to this thing. Yeah. It's a Harley Quinn movie. They shoved it in there. You know, they forced it in there with that crazy long title, but the movie, at least on my box office tracking, it just says Birds of Prey, and I think people are going to scratch their heads. What the hell is Birds of Prey? You know, if they haven't seen a lot of marketing. It's weird. So we'll get into all the other factors. Bad Boys for Life hanging on at number 2. $12 million. 1917, a 5% drop with $9 million. Doolittle, somehow, kids movie. $6.66 million this weekend.
That's the mark of the beast.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good description for that movie. Jumanji, The Next Level, this thing, 9 weeks, $5.5 million, a 7.8% drop. Crazy. Number 6, The Gentleman, from 2 weeks ago on the podcast, $4.1 million, a 25% drop. Number 7 in week 2, Gretel and Hansel, $3.5 million, 43% drop. So that's at $11 million total. Number 8, Knives Out in week 11, made another $2.3 million, a 9% drop. Number 9, Little Women, $2.3 million, a 24% drop. But that thing's up to 102.6, so it's crossed 100 million domestic finally.
Wow, good for it.
Yeah, number 10, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, $2.2 million, 30% drop. So it's still getting some people to the theater. $510 million domestic on that one. I believe it's $1.06 billion. So they're considering it a disappointment, though, with, you know, it should have been a $2 billion movie, right?
Yeah, for sure.
The conclusion of the saga, it should have been big. And The Force Awakens, you know, The Last Jedi went down from that. This went down from that. So definitely has them rethinking.
A steady decline in returns, but not in quality.
Yeah, not a quality thing, but you know, this is show business in Disney, especially when they're buying properties for, what did they spend, $4 billion on Star Wars?
You're right. Yeah. And it was way higher for Fox.
$71 billion.
Yeah, right.
So, but they're looking for a return, and again, this isn't all profit. They have huge budgets, and so, you know, they got to see these numbers come in. And to Tom's credit, you know, he did send us an article.
He did, yeah. That's right.
That, I mean, an opinion article, not straight from them, but they said the future is television, like Tom's been saying. So we'll see. The Mandalorian, I couldn't believe it. There's a second season coming out this year.
They're already
getting ready. But that's great that they were able to do it. So anyway, that's the box office report. That is our Oscar prediction. Thank you all for listening and joining. Hopefully we didn't get it too wrong, but in any event, we hope you had fun. So
I didn't.
You had fun, Joe?
Oh no, I didn't get them wrong.
Linnea, is there anywhere that you'd like to plug for people to find you?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on Twitter at Linnea1928.
All right, and Joe?
You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
And this is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. So again, follow the show, facebook.com/RealSpoilers, Twitter, RealSpoilers. You know how to find us. Rate and review. We haven't had a review in a while. So for
some
of you that
have one.
No kidding.
We got one at the end of January, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe we can read that next episode. But we love that, and it also helps new people find the show, because the more you rate and review, the podcast jumps the charts, and people can see higher numbers, and it really does help. So if you've been listening to the show for a while and you haven't written a review, we'd love to have that. But that's it for now. So join us for our next episode, which will be our review and a true milestone on this one. Yes. 550 is going to be Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. I think. So we'll see how that one goes. But until next time, you've been warned.
If you want to tell a story right, you got to start at the beginning. Girls like me don't make that. Girls like me don't make that. Girls like me don't make that. We're going to have to work together.
With you. Best friends. Don't talk to girls' best friends. Something good to me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.